devil's trying to stop me right now, but it ain't going to work. We're going to preach anyway. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And while you're turning there, once again, I want to express my gratitude to your bishop and to your district board for the invitation to come. You know, I realize y'all don't invite people back. So it's a great honor to be here. And thank you, gentlemen, for coming. Thank you for coming. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that," or "so that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I'm going to be preaching here for just a few moments on the thought, the God of no limits.
Come on.
The God of no limits. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this wonderful privilege to be here in Central California with these great men. Now, dear God, you see all of the men that have come here from all over Central California. And Father, you know every need of every man that is here. And Holy Ghost, I thank you for meeting each and every need in this place tonight. If they're sick in body, I thank you for healing in this place.
Yes.
If they're bound by drugs and alcohol, I thank you for deliverance in this place. If they have a demon, I thank you, we're going to cast it out in this place.
Amen.
By the power of Almighty God. Now, Father, we love you. And we thank you. Open our eyes that we may see wondrous things in your word. And give unto us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. And for it we'll be eternally grateful. In the matchless name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray.
Yeah.
And everybody said,
amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, the God of no limits.
No limits. No limits.
Look at somebody else and say, the God of no limits.
No limits. No
Hallelujah.
Limits.
Now, in theology, we use the words omnipotence, omnipresence, and omniscience to describe attributes of God.
Yes.
And according to the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, omnipresence is the aspect of God's infinity in which he transcends the limitations of space and is present in all places and in all time.
Yeah.
How many of you know God is in this house?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. God is in this house.
Glory.
But aren't you glad you're serving a God that's not only in Posey, California, he's a God of New York City as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's God in L.A. right now.
Yeah.
And he's even, can you believe it, in San Francisco right now.
Yeah.
Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
God's omniscience, God or omnipresence, God is everywhere present. There is nowhere in the universe that we can go and escape the presence of Almighty God.
Amen.
Because he is omnipresent.
Yes.
Next, we read about his omniscience. And that is God's infinite knowledge and understanding of things past, present, and future.
Amen.
There is nothing in the past that God does not know.
Amen.
There is nothing in the present that God does not know. And there's nothing in the future that God does not know. And I want to come and serve notice here to you today or tonight in Central California. It does not matter who is your governor. It doesn't matter who the president of the United States is. God is not sitting upon the throne of the universe wringing his hands wondering what he's going to do. God already knows what he's going to do, and he's given us the Bible to let us know how the story ends. Can somebody say amen? God's omniscience, his all-knowing, past, present, and future. And then there is God's omnipotence. Somebody say omnipotence.
Omnipotence.
So what is omnipotence? It is God's unlimited authority to bring into existence or cause to happen whatsoever he wills.
Yeah.
These are God's attributes.
Yes.
And the moment that he ceases to be any of these, he ceases to be God. We cannot change his omnipotence, just like we cannot change his omniscience and we cannot change his omnipresence. He's God, and nobody and nothing will ever be able to change that. Can somebody say amen?
Amen. Amen.
Now, the word omnipotence is derived from two Latin words. The word omni, meaning all, and the word potens, meaning powerful. And you put the two together, and it means all powerful. So God's omnipotence means that God is able to do all his holy will.
Yeah.
And his omnipotence has reference to his own power to do what he decides to do.
Amen.
And because of his omnipotence, his power exceeds what humans can even ask or think.
Amen.
Now, I want you to notice something before we move on into the message. That the definition of omnipotence is stated in terms of God's ability to do all of his holy will.
Amen.
Now, why is that important? It's very important to understand because there are some things that God cannot do.
Yeah.
Now you quiet on me until I explain what I'm saying. But there are some things that God cannot do. God cannot will or do anything that would deny his own character.
Amen.
God with me here today.
Amen.
I said God cannot will or do anything that would deny his own character. And that is why the definition of omnipotence is stated in terms of God's ability to do all of his holy will.
Yeah.
So it is not absolutely everything that God is able to do. But everything that is consistent with his will and with his character.
Amen.
For example, God cannot lie.
Right.
How many of you would agree with that tonight?
Yeah.
In First Titus, in Titus chapter 1, verse 2, he's literally called the unlying God, or the God who never lies. And the author of Hebrews says that it is impossible for God to lie. So God cannot lie. Number two, God cannot deny himself. For 2 Timothy 2:13 says that. That he cannot deny himself. Thirdly, he cannot be tempted with evil. Uh-huh. And he himself tempts no one to do evil.
Amen.
For the book of James chapter 1 verse 13 says that God cannot be tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man.
Amen.
So my point is this, that although God's power is infinite, his use of that power is qualified by his other attributes.
Amen.
So there are some things that God cannot do because there are some things that are outside his will and outside his character.
Amen.
He cannot lie.
Right.
He cannot sin. He cannot deny himself.
Right.
He cannot be tempted with evil.
Amen.
He cannot cease to exist.
Amen.
He cannot cease to be God or act in any way that is inconsistent with any of his attributes.
Amen.
So for all of you theologians out there,
come on,
and for all of you Bible scholars out there, let me be extremely clear. When I say that he is a God of no limits, I'm specifically referring to anything that he wills to do or anything that is consistent with his character.
Amen.
And in that regard, God is a God of no limits.
Amen.
So God's omnipotence means that he is almighty.
Yeah.
Without bounds or limit in all, oh, I'm going to preach here tonight, or in all that he wills to do. There is nothing too hard for the Lord God Almighty. All power belongs unto him, and all things are possible with him. And by his powerful word, he created all things. And according to the Bible, he upholds it all by the word of his power. And from Genesis to Revelation, we see God's omnipotence and what God is able to do. According to Luke 3:8, God is able to raise up children from stones.
Yeah.
According to Romans 4:21, God is able to fulfill promises even though they are humanly impossible.
Amen.
According to 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound toward you.
Yeah.
According to Philippians 3:21, God is able to subdue all things. According to 2 Timothy 1:12, God is able to guard the soul's treasure. According to Hebrews 7:25, God is able to save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. According to Jude 24, God is able to keep you from falling. And according to our text in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Can somebody say amen in this house? I want to know tonight, is there anybody in Central California that is glad that you're serving a God of no limits? That you're serving a God of no limits. You're serving a God that is able to give sight to the blind. You're serving a God who is able to rescue from the fiery furnace. You're serving a God who is able to deliver from the lion's mouth. According to Isaiah 40:12, he spread his fingers and he made the universe. According to Genesis 1:3, he said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the omnipotent God, and thank God, there are no limits to his power.
Hallelujah.
He can move mountains, he can change lives, he can lift burdens, and he can meet needs. Can somebody say amen? He can part seas, he can give water out of a rock, he can rain manna down from heaven, he can raise the dead, he can command the winds and the seas, and they obey, and he can supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And this room is filled tonight with people that can testify that he can change the lives of men and transform them into vessels of honor. Can somebody say amen?
I'm
saying tonight that he is the omnipotent, all-powerful, almighty God without bounds or limit in all that he wills to do. If you believe it tonight, give him a shout of praise. Is there anybody in this place tonight that believes that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that he can ask for? Come on. Is there anybody in here that believes that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? Do we believe that God can do more and far more than we can ever ask or imagine? Folks, I believe that God is able to do super abundantly above and over and above those things that we are asking for ourselves and considering. I believe that God is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes and dreams. Folks, I've come all the way from Frankfort, Kentucky to let you know tonight that we are serving a God of no limits. There's no limit to his power. There's no limit to his strength. There's no limit to his ability.
Amen.
There's no sinner that he cannot save. There's no sickness that he cannot heal. There's no problem that he cannot solve. There's no broken heart that he cannot mend.
Glory.
There's no bondage that he cannot break.
Glory.
And there's no demon that he cannot cast out. Why? Because, folks, we are serving a God of no limits. Can you give him a shout in his place? No matter the problem, no matter the sickness, no matter the situation, no matter the disease, and no matter the circumstance, you're serving a God
who is able glory to do
exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask for him. Can somebody say amen? Now, if you want to see God's omnipotence in action, what we want to do is look at Genesis chapter 1. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, we see God's omnipotence. And in Genesis 1, 1 through 2, it states, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth."
Glory to God.
Verse 2, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters."
Amen.
It's no accident that God is the subject of the first sentence of the Bible.
Right.
Because all throughout Genesis chapter 1, we see the prominence of God.
Uh-huh.
The word God is used over 30 times in chapter 1 alone. Why? Because God created the heaven and the earth. Come on.
Amen.
There was no universe. There was no sky. There was no sun. There was no moon. There were no stars. There was no earth. There was no water. There was no plants. There were no trees. There were no animals. There were no people. Nothing existed. Nothing at all except God. Come on, somebody. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
Glory.
God created God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. It's divine Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. God the Father spoke the creation into being. For the words God said are found 10 times in Genesis chapter 1. God the Son made the creation. For John chapter 1, 1 through 3 declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. So God the Son made the creation, and God the Holy Spirit moved in the creation process. For Genesis 1:2 says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved. Is anybody glad that the Spirit of God is still moving?
Hallelujah.
I said, is anybody in here glad that the Spirit of God is still moving?
Yeah.
He's still saving. He's still healing. He's still setting people free. I'm telling you, it's not just a God who moved centuries and thousands of years ago, but He's a God that is still moving today. Can somebody give Him praise?
Yeah.
So, we see the divine Trinity all involved in creation. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Somebody say God the Father.
God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
God the Holy Spirit.
God the Holy Spirit.
Say it again. God the Father.
God the Father.
God the Son.
God the Son.
And God the Holy Spirit.
God the Holy Spirit.
And what's interesting is this. In Genesis 1:2, the condition of the original creation is described in a threefold way. For it says, number one, it was unformed. Somebody say unformed. Because the Bible says that the earth was without form. Secondly, we see that it was unfilled. Somebody say unfilled.
Unfilled.
Why? Because the scripture says that that the earth was void. Somebody say void.
Void.
And thirdly, we see that it was unilluminated. For the scripture says, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. So it was unformed, unfilled, and unilluminated. I'm going to say it again. It was unformed. It was unfilled and it was unilluminated. But the 6 days of creation addressed the three basic needs of verse 2.
Glory.
I'm going to preach it tonight. Because it says that it was unformed, but the earth was given form in days 2 and 3. It was unfilled, but the earth was filled in days 5 and 6. It was unilluminated, but the earth was given illumination in days 1 and 3. One day of light, day 1, preceded the forming, and one day of light, day 3, preceded the filling. Can somebody say amen in this house? And when it says that God created the heaven and the earth, the word created means, and I quote, brought into being without the use of pre-existing material.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Come on. Amen. I said, quote, brought into being without the use of pre-existing material.
Yeah.
That's why Hebrews 11:3 states, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The New Living says it this way. By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. That what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen.
Amen.
And some people who believe in evolution try to tell us that space and matter and energy and everything else all made themselves and made them by accident.
Yeah, yeah.
But my question is this. How could anything make itself before it existed?
Right.
Man, I'm going to preach in this place.
Yeah.
Notice what the Bible says. It says everything that we now see did not come from anything that can be seen.
Right.
I'm going to say it again. Everything that we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. I'm going to try it one more time. I said everything that we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. It was brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. That means that the Grand Canyon of Arizona was brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. That means that the Rocky Mountains of Colorado was brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. That means that the Smoky Mountains, preachers, of Tennessee came into being without the use of any pre-existing material. That means that the bluegrass of Kentucky was brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. That means that the Great Lakes of Michigan were brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. And it means that the redwoods of California were brought into being without the use of any pre-existing material. And you're going to say, preacher, how in the world did that happen? Well, I'm glad you asked, because I'm going to tell you it happened because you serve an omnipotent God. And there is nothing for your God. All we have to do was speak, and the universe came into existence. Can somebody give him a shout of praise? That's why in Genesis chapter 1, we see that God said, and God saw.
God said,
oh my God, help me. And God said, and God saw. 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 Why? Because he is the God of no limits. And I come in this house to serve notice to you tonight that if he can create the heaven and the earth, he can heal your sick body in this place. He can deliver you from drugs. He can deliver you from alcohol. Because there is nothing to hide from your God. But he also created the heaven.
That's right.
Come on.
So let's talk about it a little bit.
Come on.
A typical galaxy contains billions, billions of individual stars. My goodness gracious.
Come on.
Our galaxy alone, the Milky Way, contains 200 billion stars. Woo. Just to cross the Milky Way, our galaxy, would take 100,000 light years. Light travels at 186,000 miles a second. That's pretty fast.
Yeah.
And then when you think about the seconds in a year, there's 31,536,000 seconds in a year. So to calculate one light year, you would multiply 186,000 miles times 31,536,000 seconds.
Come on.
I'm about to preach, y'all. I'm just warming up.
Yes, come on.
That's one light year.
Wow. Come on.
One.
Come on.
And to just cross our galaxy would take 100,000 light years. That's huge.
Yeah.
Our galaxy is shaped like a giant spiral, rotating in space with arms reaching out like a pinwheel, and our sun is just one star on one arm of the pinwheel. Now, how many of you think that our son is a huge star?
Yeah.
How many of you would agree with that? Our son is a huge star.
Yes, sir.
Well, you're wrong.
Looks like it.
It's really going to get good.
Come on, then.
It's an average size star.
Average. Wow. Come on,
just average. The largest star known is UY Scuti. Wow. UY Scuti. You can look at space.com and find out all of this information. The largest star known right now to this point is UY Scuti. Its radius is 1,700 times larger than the sun.
Wow.
Its radius is 1,700 times larger than the sun. To put that into perspective, the volume of almost 5 billion suns could fit inside a sphere the size of UY Scuti. 5 billion with a B of our suns could fit inside. Y'all know, boy, we're about to shout out. The biggest single entity that scientists have identified is a supercluster of galaxies called the Hercules Corona Borealis Great Wall.
Wow.
It is so wide that light takes about 10 billion years to move across the entire structure. And light moves at 186,000 miles a second. And that galaxy is so big, it would take light 10 billion years to cross it. Now, it would take 250 million years for the pinwheel of the Milky Way to make one full rotation. But that is only our galaxy. That's only our galaxy. But there are many other galaxies with many other shapes. Scientists estimate that there are roughly 200 billion galaxies. 200 billion. Now, I just said it would... I just told you just across our galaxy would take 100,000 light years. But that's one of 200 billion. That's all that they know by now. There may be trillions of galaxies that they haven't discovered yet. The average distance between one galaxy is 200 billion. The average distance between one galaxy and another is about 220 million trillion miles. Just from one galaxy to the next. Our closest galaxy is the Andromeda Galaxy, about 12 million trillion miles away. And for every patch of sky the size of the moon, if you could look very deep, you'd see about a million galaxies. And Genesis chapter 1 says, in the beginning God.
Hallelujah.
Your God.
Yeah.
In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you're serving a God of no limits.
No limits.
I'm saying you are serving an omnipotent God.
Yeah.
I'm saying you are serving an all-powerful God. And the scripture says that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. In other words, he did not use any pre-existing material, but everything he used, he spoke it.
Spoke
into existence, and he created it all by the word. I wish I had somebody around. He created it all by the word of his power. And folks, not only did he create it all by the word of his power, but he upholds it all by the word of his power. That means that the sun stands in its place because of the word of Almighty God. That means that the moon stands in its place because of the power of the word of Almighty God. That means that you, by Scuti, stands in its place because of the power of the word of Almighty God. The earth stands in its place. Venus and Jupiter billions and billions of galaxies all stand in their place because of the power of the word of Almighty God.
For
Psalm 33, 6 and 9 says this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all of the host of them by the breath of his mouth. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still. Folks, creation did not happen by chance.
No.
I said it did not happen by chance. Chance merely describes the statistical probability of something happening. Chance itself can do nothing. Chance doesn't do anything but describe a probability. But I've come in here to let you know tonight that the world did not create itself or come about by chance, but it was created by an omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God. Can somebody give him praise? Just like the word of God. Isaiah 43 and 13 says, mine hand also hath laid the foundation of the earth, and my right hand has spanned the heavens.
Yes.
When I call unto them, they stand up together. Psalm 8, 3 and 4 says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Folks, let me tell you something. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist.
Come on.
I said I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. The only big bang I believe in is God said it, and bang, it happened just like he said. You are serving a God of no limits. There's nothing he cannot do. I said there's nothing that he cannot do. There's no limit to his strength. There's no limit to his power. There's no limit to his ability. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful, and creative God, and the creation of the heaven and the earth is proof. Can somebody give God a shout of praise? One day, students in Albert Einstein's class said that, you know, we're atheists, we don't believe there's a God.
Uh-huh.
So Einstein asked them how much of the knowledge in the world that they had among themselves collectively as a class.
Uh-huh.
And the students discussed it for a while among themselves, and they determined that they had 5% of all human knowledge. Among themselves in their class. How many of y'all know people like that? So Einstein thought that their estimate was a little generous.
Come on.
But then he replied with these words, well, is it possible that God exists in the 95% you don't know? Come on, somebody. Is it God? You say there is no God. How much of the world's knowledge do you have? We got 5%. Well, is it possible that God exists in the 95% you don't know? Folks, I'm about to run up in this place now because I'm about to tell you that Genesis chapter 1 declares that the heaven and the earth was created by an omnipotent God that you serve. Your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. You are a child of that God. You are a child of that God. Can somebody say amen?
Yes.
Of God.
Hallelujah.
To the atheist, it says that creation was the work of God.
Woo.
To the polytheist, it says that there is only one God. To the pantheist, it says that God is apart from and independent of his creation.
Yeah.
To the evolutionist, it says that the universe was created and did not evolve. To the materialist, it says that matter is not eternal, but was itself created. And to the existentialist, It says that creation has a purpose.
Yeah.
I'm telling you tonight that every day all around us, we see the evidence of God's omnipotence.
Yeah.
Whether we look at the vastness of the universe with billions of galaxies containing billions of stars, or whether we look at the complexity of our own bodies and how that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Or whether we look at the incredible design on the microscopic level, we see the evidence of a powerful creator. I'm telling you tonight that he is the God of no limits.
No limit.
He is the God of no limits.
No limit.
Isaiah 40:12 says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Jeremiah 32:17 says, O Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you. I've come in here to let you know, if God can create the universe, then he can provide meal in a widow woman's barrel. If he can send the stars into existence, if he can part the Red Sea, if he can speak light into existence, that he can shut the mouths of lions.
Hallelujah.
If he can create man from the dust of the earth, then one day he's going to resurrect your mortal bodies. Can somebody say amen? And I have good news for you here tonight, that if he can do all of that, he can save you from the guttermost to the uttermost. If he can do all of that, he can pay your light bill. If he can do all of that, then he can deliver you from demons. If he can deliver you from drugs and alcohol, if he can do that, he can put your marriage back together. If he can do that, he can heal you from any manner of sickness or disease. Preacher, can you heal me? Preacher, can you heal me? You're serving a God of no limits. Preacher, can you save me? You're serving a God of no limits. Preacher, can you provide for me? You're serving a God of no limits. Can you put my marriage back together, preacher? We're serving a God of no limits. Can you change my life and turn it around? You are serving a God of no limits. Give him a shout of praise if you believe it. So, I'm going to summarize Bible history in 30 seconds. Y'all ready? Y'all ready?
Come on.
Here we go. There is no world he can't create.
Come on.
There is no earth he can't populate.
Come on.
Wow. And there's no flood he can't evaporate.
Woo!
There's no sun he can't elevate.
Wow.
There's no dreams he can't facilitate.
Come on, man.
There are no slaves he can't emancipate.
Come on. Yeah.
There's no sea he can't separate.
Come on.
There are no wars he can't disintegrate.
Woo.
There's no promise he can't appropriate. There's no giant he can't dominate. And there are no lions he can't incapacitate.
Woo.
There's no fire that he can't regulate. There's no dead bones that he can't resuscitate. There's no message that he can't articulate. And there's no grave that he can't evacuate. There's no person he can't regenerate. There's no church he can't rejuvenate. There's no army, he can't eliminate. And if there's no devil, he cannot exterminate.
District board, come out and help us pray.